Well, we're sort of doing it a bit back to front, really, because we're going to just take our time this morning to have a look at the Babylonians coming in and taking the exiles in the first place, and see what happened to them, and how that happened, and what we can learn from that. So if you have a Bible with you, or if you want to follow the reading, it's on the screen behind me, or it should be. Here we go. I hope that's big enough. Right. So Jeremiah 39, verse 1. In the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and besieged it. In the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month of the ninth day of the month, the city was penetrated. Then all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate with the rest of the princes of the king of Babylon. So it was, when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and all the men of war saw them, that they fled and went out of the city by night, by the way of the king's garden, by the gate between the two walls. They went out by the way of the plain. The Chaldean army pursued them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. When they had captured him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah, in the land of Hamath, where he pronounced judgment on them. Then the king of Babylon killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes in Riblah. The king of Babylon also killed the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with bronze fetters to carry him off to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and broke down the walls of Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, carried away captives to Babylon. The remnant of the people who remained in the city, and those who defected to him, with the rest of the people who remained. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left in the land of Judah the poor people who had nothing, and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. So that's our reading for this morning. We're going to be looking at that. It's quite, I suppose, the low point of Jeremiah, as we've been reading there. The king is in exile, he's pursued by the Babylonians, that his sons are killed in front of his eyes, and he's taken off in bronze fetters and led away to Babylon, and then the captain of the guard comes in and takes the people away as well. So we're going to think about this from Jeremiah's point of view and how he sees it. We'll think about what happens to the people. And then we'll have that overarching view of what God sees in this event, and what God makes of what's happening. Well, Jeremiah is one of the major prophets from the Old Testament. He's sometimes referred to as the weeping prophet, because for all his life, really, he is telling the people that they have to repent and return to God, otherwise they will face judgment. And the people just wouldn't listen to him whatsoever. But before we get into this in a bit more detail, I think we just need to pause and remember that we thought last time that God's promises, we said, to Israel and to the Jewish people are earthly, and to us as Christians, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are spiritual. And so when we look into the Old Testament, we're looking and reading the history of what's happened and how God has dealt with his people. When we turn into the New Testament, and we read the Gospels and the Acts and the Epistles, it's not a continuation of how God is dealing with Israel, but it is a new creation that God has created. He creates the church, and the blessings for the church are different to those blessings of Israel. Now, that's not to say that we shouldn't consider and look at the Old Testament and see how God has acted in the past. It also means that the Old Testament isn't actually finished. And I'll give you an example. In Ezekiel's prophecy, in chapters 40 to 48, Ezekiel prophesies there will be a new temple built in Jerusalem. Well, at the moment, that hasn't been fulfilled. In the future, there will be a new temple built in Jerusalem, and it'll be to the dimensions that Ezekiel has prophesied in his prophecy. That's in the future. How about the declaration that we sometimes give after we've had the collection? If we could have the next slide up, you'll see that, you know, these verses, Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. We say that together. Just pause there a minute, or go back one. So on the left, you've got there Luke chapter 4, which is what the Lord Jesus says about himself. And that is taken from the next slide, which is from Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 2. And you see they're very similar, except for the last line, which is in red on the screen there. Because when the Lord Jesus came, it was to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he stops the quotation there. But the rest of Isaiah says that it's to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Well, the Lord Jesus didn't come first time to fulfill the whole of that prophecy. Because the day of vengeance of the Lord is still in the future. And so biblical prophecy in the Old Testament has not finished. It is still ongoing, even today. And I suppose the most obvious example, if you interpret the Old Testament in a certain way, is that the children of Israel today are back in their land. And Israel has reformed. Now, I know that is, you only have to look back over politics in the last 12 months or so to know that that is a very controversial thing even today, that the children of Israel are in the land. But we don't want to consider that too much today. All I was pointing out is that when we look at the Old Testament, we have to look at it in the context of who it is written about and who it is written to. But, of course, we can draw out all those principles and apply them to ourselves. So, turning to our verses today, Jeremiah chapter 39. As I said, the king is fled. The city of Jerusalem has been overrun by the Babylonians. The king's house is burnt down, and the people are carried away. And it's a terrible situation for them. So we want to think about what did Jeremiah do about this situation? How could he have helped? What did he do? And what did God do? Because we want to think about three groups of people this morning. There's Jeremiah himself and his prophecy and how he is involved. There are the people and what they did and how they got themselves into this situation. And overarching all of that, of course, there is God and what his involvement, if you like, is, what his concern is for the people. Because we can draw out from these two people, from Jeremiah and from the people, we can apply it to ourselves. Because sometimes in life you might be going along and you're really in tune with God and you think you know, you're really in focus and God's speaking to you really well and you pass that on to someone else. And you think, I've got a word for you this morning, and you go up and you give the word and you think, I'm really in tune with God. Other times, it's as if there's a ceiling between you and God and you can't communicate at all with him. And you feel, what's happened? I can't, God's not there. But you've got to remember sometimes that even when we're in our low points, God will never abandon us. In fact, the Bible says there's only one person that God has ever forsaken, and that was Jesus Christ on the cross. And in those 3 hours of darkness on the cross, God judged the wrath. God's wrath came out and judged in judgment of the sin of the world. That's the starting point for the gospel, and it's a starting point for Christianity, to know that you will never be abandoned by God because the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price for your sin. And so, if you've come to that understanding and that knowledge of God as your Savior through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to remember that you will never be left alone, you'll never be abandoned, and the Lord Jesus Christ is always there for you. Now, it's easy, I suppose, at the front to say that and just say, Jesus is always there for you with a smiley face and not apply it in any way whatsoever to the problems that we have in life. Because from time to time, we get those situations where we say, where is God in my life at this moment? Why, or perhaps sometimes we say, why has God allowed this to happen? Well, we'll think about that as we go. Because what about the people in this situation? They'd disobeyed God, and they were carried away from Babylon. Eventually, God had prophesied through Jeremiah that the kingdom would fall and the people would be carried away and scattered. And foreigners came into the land and occupied it. And that's really the first thing to note in Jeremiah here, is that the people disobeyed and God punished them. Now, we have to be careful. This is why I say when you're reading the Old Testament, it's different to reading the New Testament, because today we are in the day of grace, as the Bible would say. We are there with God's offer of salvation to us so that we will not face judgment. The Bible says that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, the Bible says that one day in the future that God will judge the world in righteousness, but he will never judge the believer. Those who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ will never be judged by him. And that's why I say it's important when we're looking at the Old Testament not to draw the incorrect conclusions. However, as believers in our lives, we can sometimes miss out on blessing or a blessing that God wants to give us. And if we want that newness of life that comes from being a Christian, we have to be aware of how to live in the fullness of it. Now, in the passage, the people couldn't really do anything about it. The Babylonians came in by force, took the city, and took the people away. But in the New Testament context, in a church context, it is possible sometimes that we put ourselves in exile. Well, that is to say that we take ourselves away from where God is and from where blessing is. If we get the next slide up, it's from Hebrews chapter 10. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. So this is a reminder from the Hebrew writer that we should carry on meeting together, that we should exhort one another, and that we should stir up love and good works. As I said, we all perhaps go through tough times and difficult times in our lives. Those times perhaps when God seems distant to us, and how easy it is sometimes, perhaps on a Sunday morning when you've had a really bad week and you can't get in touch with God, as it were, you feel totally out of step with him, and you get to Sunday morning and you think, you pull the duvet up a little bit higher and you just roll over and stay in bed because you can't face coming to church perhaps. You just think, God is not there for me, I'm just going to stay in bed. This is what I talk about when we miss out on blessing. It might be the same of a life group as well. Now, I know we've got busy lives and things, but we get to that weekday evening and you think, oh, it's life group tonight. Do I want to go? Or do I rather want to stay at home and watch EastEnders or something like that? Well, this is why I say we put ourselves in a position where we'll miss out on blessing, or we can put ourselves there so that we do miss out on blessing. Maybe it is that you've been hurt by church, or you've been hurt at church. I know that is the case. Certainly my Christian background, I've been hurt by a church. It was too daunting. Perhaps you felt, I can't go today. I just don't like church at the moment. It's too daunting for me to go. They've hurt me so badly. And that really can be a barrier to people coming to church. But that is where the church is due to be there. It's where the church comes in. That no one should feel abandoned or isolated or left alone in a church. As the Hebrew writer there says, we are called to exhort one another. And as believers, we should never be in a position where we feel like we are alone, especially if we're part of a church. Because God has given us the church as to be family to us. Remember what Jesus Christ said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of him. It only takes two or three of you to gather together to have Jesus in the midst. The importance of that, though, is that church shouldn't be and isn't just a social club where you come to see your friends, have a good time, and then you go home again. Because Jesus Christ himself is in the midst, and we have to realize that and respect that and honor him as being present when we meet. So let's look at Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, as we've said. Now, God spoke to Jeremiah to warn the people that they had to repent, and they ignored him. And what did they end up saying about him? If we can have the next slide. Jeremiah chapter 38, verse 4. This is what the people, his own people, Jeremiah's own people say, let this man be put to death. For what reason? Well, he weakens the hands of our men of war and all the people by speaking such words to them. For this man does not seek the welfare of his people, but he seeks their harm. They went even worse. He was there speaking God's truth to them, and they said, put him to death. He's speaking badly against us. He wants nothing but our destruction, in effect, is what they're saying. You see, prophets in the Old Testament are not always very popular, as you can see. Because, why? Because they bring God's word. They speak the truth. Now, sometimes it's easy to avoid conflict, isn't it? We know if we say something, it's going to stir up a hornet's nest, so I won't say it. Well, Jeremiah was faithful to what God said, and he passed that on to the people, even though he put himself in danger. And so I say about you, do you have a Jeremiah in your life? That is to say, someone who knows God and who you trust and who will speak God's truth into your life, into a situation, and through love will say it regardless of what the consequences would be. It may not always be what you want to hear, but if you have a Jeremiah in your life who will speak truth to you, you will always be better off than if they just were to speak what you wanted to hear just so you felt better. Because it's the easiest thing in the world to avoid conflict and just say to someone what they want to hear, what you know will cheer them up, even if you know it is wrong. Jeremiah told the truth, and the people hated him for doing it, and they wanted to put him to death. In the New Testament, John the Baptist was put to death because he told the truth. And the ultimate example, of course, is Jesus Christ, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, and yet sinful men put him to death. So it's not easy being a Jeremiah, but if you know someone who you trust, who is a believer, and who is there for you, it is to your benefit that you trust them. As he said, the people in Jeremiah's day wanted to kill him for doing it. But God protects Jeremiah and he survives from that situation. And then Jeremiah, along with the other people, is taken to Babylon. And as is common when people come in to take away the fit, the healthy, and all of those, the people who are left behind are those who are the poor, who have nothing. Amazingly, Jeremiah is part of a defeated nation, and yet he is given a choice. King Nebuchadnezzar says this, and it's on the next slide. Take him and look after him and do him no harm. It's amazing that should happen, given he was a defeated person from a defeated people. Maybe that Jeremiah's reputation had gone ahead of him and it had spread without his knowledge. And I say this, don't be surprised if unbelievers and the people around us here know about your reputation, know about what happens at Buttershaw Baptist Church, even if they haven't ever crossed the door. And I say about our church, perhaps our lives, do you have a good reputation with your neighbors? I say that just for you to think about. Because Jeremiah had a good reputation amongst those who were his enemies. The captain of the guard could actually quote what Jeremiah had said. This is an unbeliever. It's on the next slide. And it says this. The captain of the guard, he could quote him. He looked at Jeremiah and he said to him, the Lord your God has pronounced this doom on this place. Now the Lord has brought it and has done just as he said. Because your people have sinned against the Lord and do not obey his voice, therefore this thing has come upon you. So the captain of the guard knew exactly why Babylon had been victorious, because Jeremiah had told him what was going to happen. It's amazing to think that his own people wanted to put him to death, but the Babylonians wanted to keep him, wanted to say to him, look, we understand your words, we believe what you said, and we know why we have been victorious. And it's because the people had been disobedient. They recognized him as a prophet who was in tune with God, even if his own people didn't. Now, as I said, amazingly, he's actually given a choice. And it's on the next slide. Jeremiah is given a choice. He's defeated. But it says, if it seems good to you, come with me to Babylon. Come and I will look after you. But if it seems wrong to you to come with me, go to Babylon, to come to Babylon, remain here. See, all the land is before you, wherever it seems good and convenient for you to go. So it's amazing that he says, look, come with me, you'll be very comfortable. You'll live out your days in comfort in Babylon. We'll look after you. So he could have gone. He could have thought, well, I've done all I can for the people. I may as well just go and retire to Babylon. I'll be looked after. I'll have comfort and all those kind of things. But he doesn't do that. He says, I'll go back. I'm going to go and stay with my people, because whilst I could have comfort, I'd be in a foreign land. I wouldn't be where I should be. You say, hang on a minute. The people have just been taken away. This is when they need the prophet most. They need Jeremiah to be with them as they're in exile, because he's the one who's receiving from God. People have been captured, taken away. But remember, who does it say that was left behind in the land? Well, it was the poor who had nothing. Maybe it was that Jeremiah thought he would be more use with those who'd been left behind, who were the poor, the needy, and all that, and he should stay with them. We don't really know why he would do that. But Jeremiah's life didn't end there. If you were to carry on reading beyond that, you would read all about what happens to Jeremiah. He ends up in Egypt. But it is the case that God raises up people for a certain season or for a certain purpose, and then it may be that it takes them out of our lives. In the same way that Jeremiah was with the people and then he goes back. He doesn't go to Babylon, he goes back. And God sometimes does this. He will bring people into our lives for a season who need to be there for us, and then he may take them away. You say, well, what about the people now? They've been taken away into captivity, into Babylon, and who's there for them? Well, God raises up two other people, two other prophets we read about, Daniel and Ezekiel. Jeremiah, Daniel, and Ezekiel were all contemporaries of each other. I'm not sure they actually ever met, but they were around at the same time. And so whilst Jeremiah comes up to Babylon, and just as they are taken into captivity, his time ends, God raises up two others, Daniel and Ezekiel. And Daniel has a lot of time and respect for Jeremiah, because he quotes him in Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. The word of the Lord he received through who? Through Jeremiah. So it's always encouraging when people you don't know, but they know your works. They would even go as far as quoting what you've written, even though you've never heard of them before. And so Jeremiah goes, and Daniel and Ezekiel comes up, and God raises these people up. Because Daniel was taken into captivity, you'll remember. He was one of the young people from a very educated background, and he ends up in the king's office, and in effect, he becomes the prime minister of Babylon. And Ezekiel, in the next slide, we read what Ezekiel says in the start of his prophecy. As I was among the captives, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions. And so it's at that point that Ezekiel then starts to see visions, when he's taken into captivity. And this is what I say about God's timing, is that he raises up people at the right time for the right situation. Because sometimes we have an attitude for ourselves that says, well, if I don't do it, no one else will do it, and it won't get done, and we'll have to stop the work, or whatever it might be. If I don't do it, there's so much pressure, so much responsibility on my shoulders, that if I don't do it, no one will do it, and it won't get done. What about Jeremiah? Did he think, if I don't go into exile with the rest of the people, they won't have anyone to speak for them? Well, he didn't do that, and God raised up two other prophets, two other mighty prophets. And I say that in our situation, we can put so much pressure on ourselves that I have to do it because there's no one else to do it, and if I don't do it, it won't get done. Well, God looks at the bigger picture. God knew who he wanted to speak for the people when they were in exile, and who he was going to speak through, and it wasn't Jeremiah on this occasion. It was two other prophets who came along. But God's work is not the same, or not done in the same way as we sometimes expect him to do it, because God will never abandon his people. We've said that he punished the people in the Old Testament there because of their disobedience, but he won't do that to them. He never actually abandons them. He sends prophets, even though they've disobeyed, he will send prophets to them. And it's the same for us. He doesn't punish us. He'll never punish the believer, and he won't ever abandon us. In fact, he'd go even further. Instead of sending prophets, he sends the Holy Spirit And if you're a believer this morning, you have the indwelling Holy Spirit. He has given us the church as well. And as we said, church should be that place where you come for security, certainly, but also to be blessed and to receive blessing. And so as we just think about Jeremiah, when we turn to these scriptures, that verse is always very popular. I can't really speak about Jeremiah without getting the next verse up, please. I'm sure you've all written in a birthday card or a Christmas card or a get well card. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And hopefully that's a comfort this morning for us. And even more so when you think about God said it to a people who were rebelling against him and were about to be taken into exile. And yet he says, you have a hope and a future. Whilst it might have been difficult for them to listen to that at the time, it came out to be true because, as we thought last time, when they return from exile, they are jubilant. They are rejoicing in what God has done for them. And we too have that hope and that future in Jesus Christ. And so I'd say, if you're going through this tough time at the moment, remember that God wants the best for you, and he wants what is good for you. Don't move yourself or take yourself into exile away from God when things are going tough, going hard, because that's when you need him most. That's when you need a Jeremiah or someone like that around you to speak God's truth into the situation that you're facing. It's very easy, and I know this from my experience, when things are going bad, to clam up, not tell anyone, and think, I'll just go through it my own, I'll power through it my own, and I'll come out the other side. That is not the way to go. You need people around you who you trust to speak God's truth to a situation. And also say, don't be downcast when your hard work for the church is not rewarded. Jeremiah did all this work, and the people wanted to put him to death. Sometimes we think, I've done so much work for the church, and you know what? People don't even care. They'd never say thank you. They don't do anything like that. Well, the people amongst his people wanted to kill Jeremiah. The people who appreciated him were his enemies. And as believers this morning, that is our commission, is to go out, isn't it, and to preach Christ to those around us. They may well appreciate your good works and your preaching to them, even if your own church doesn't. That's why the gospel where the Lord Jesus says that a prophet is without honor except in his hometown. Is not without honor, excuse me. I've got the a prophet is not without honor except in his own town. And you've got to remember the promise that God has given us. He says this, "My word will not return to me empty. It shall accomplish what I please." And so God's plan for us and for the world is bigger than us as individuals. It's bigger than our own visions. And I'll finish with this. It is the prayer this morning that our vision and our will as a church, as in individuals, and as a community, our vision for what we want to do is the same as what God has for us. And we just pray that God's will is fulfilled and taken forward in this place. And it may well be that the work has to spread out further than or beyond those currently doing it. It may be that God will raise someone up or drop someone down. That is not a bad thing, to take someone out of a work for a while, to have that that rest that they may well need. But God won't leave the church leaderless. And so whilst we go through difficult times as a church, as individuals, God is always there. He never abandons us. And as we've said and seen this morning, where one prophet comes down in Jeremiah, two more were to come up and to go with the people into exile. And so we trust that this morning God will bless his word to us as we go forward through this week. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Drew. So much truth. But also very, very applicable to all of us. And that's not a guilty